May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. This is 1 Kings 17. Now Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the settlers of Gilead, said to Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, surely there shall neither be dew nor rain these years, except by my word." And the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Go away from here and turn eastward and hide yourself by the brook Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. And it shall be that you shall drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to provide for you there." So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, and so he lived and lived by the brook Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he would drink from the brook. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land. Why was there not any rain in the land? Because Elijah had prophesied and prayed that there wouldn't be any rain in the land. So as a result of his prayer, his declaration, the brook dries up. And then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and stay there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." He arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks, and he called her and said, "Please give me a little water in a jar, and that I may drink." And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, "Please bring me a piece of bread in your hand." But this woman, whom the Lord had commanded to provide for him, though she didn't know it yet, "As the Lord your God lives, I have no bread, only a handful of flour in the bowl and a little oil in the jar. And behold, I'm gathering a few sticks that I may go in and prepare for me and my son that we may eat and die." Elijah says to her, "Don't be afraid. Go do as you've said, but make me a little bread cake from it first, and bring it out to me, and afterwards you make one for yourself and for your son. And for thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bowl of flour shall not be exhausted, nor shall the jar of oil be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain on the face of the earth." So she went and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and her household ate for many days. And the bowl of flour was not exhausted, nor did the jar of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord, which God spoke through Elijah. Now it came about after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the home, became sick, and the sickness was so severe that there was no breath left in him. So she said to Elijah, "What do I have to do with you, O man of God? You have come to me to bring my iniquity to remembrance and to put my son to death." And he said to her, "Give me your son." Then he took him from her bosom and carried him up to the upper room where he was living, and laid him on his own bed, and he called to the Lord and said, "O Lord, my God, thou hast also brought calamity to the widow with whom I am staying by causing her son to die." Then he stretched himself upon the child three times and called it to the Lord. So, "Lord, my God, I pray thee, let this child's life return to him." And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the life of the child returned to him, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper room of the house to give to his mother. And Elijah said, "See, your son lives." And then the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord is in your mouth is true." This is a cool chapter, one of my favorites. There's so much there. We don't have time. Here's what I want you to see. The word Cherith is a Hebrew word that means separate. Now, this is the first public manifestation we have of Elijah's ministry, and a miraculous thing happened as a result of it. He obviously heard the word of the Lord to go to Ahab, but to say to Ahab, whose wife was Jezebel, by the way, and to say to him, "There's not going to be any rain. There's going to be a famine in the land because there's not going to be a rain, a drought." And it didn't rain for 3 years. Because God was trying to stir up Israel again to be a people of revival. And that happened. That's a pretty strong prophetic word, right? God told you to go to president and say, "Hey, I want to let you know America's not in a good place and God's not pleased and it's not going to rain for 3 years. Or it's not going to rain for these years and God's going to cause the hearts of the people to thirst for him." And then it happened. Well, you know what? You could write your own ticket. You'd probably have a ministry. You'd put it on TV. You'd start traveling around the world, right? Send out newsletters. Write all kinds of books. The Lord came to Elijah and said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go hide yourself by the brook Cherith. Separate yourself by the brook Cherith, which faces east, Jesus. And he says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to feed you supernaturally for a while. Now, we don't have time to talk about this, but you know, ravens were unclean animals. It's amazing how God can use unclean things to even feed us. But he said, I want you to go to the separated place. I want you to separate yourself. I want you to go to the secret place. Public things will happen. That'll be time for that. There's going to be the whole, all the prophets getting killed and all the cool stuff. But go back to the secret place. Bad prophets. Prophets of Baal. Not good prophets. And so he gets fed, and he's in the secret place. And from that, when the brook dries up, oh, by the way, if you got brooks that have dried up, has it been because you prayed that you want it all? That's just another thing. And so the brook dries up, and he tells Elijah, now here's where I want you to go. I want you to go to Zarephath. This woman's going to take care of you. I've already commanded her. Of course, she didn't have a clue, but I've commanded her. And now she's a Gentile, which is also unclean, and Elijah's assuming she can take care of him, and he finds out when he gets there that she's starving to death, about to eat her last meal. But he does do this word, and she does this word, and then there's this crazy crisis. Her son dies, and then God uses Elijah to raise him from the dead. Here's what I want you to understand. God wants you to be a carrier of the reality of heaven. He wants you to be a person who carries and expresses the fullness of Jesus in holy character and in signs and wonders ministry to destroy the works of the devil. But that all grows out of the secret place, not out of you running around trying to produce ministry. I can always tell when somebody's rootedness is not in the secret place because there's just a lot of hype. There's a lot of creating things. There's a lot of pretense called faith. They're just busy trying to do ministry, create ministry, but there's really no... There's stuff there. Remember what I said to you? If you go after his hand, you'll get his hand, kind of, sort of. But the problem is that you got your fingers involved there too, but if you go after his face, you'll get his hand thrown in. And there'll be an authenticity about it. The world's starving for a manifestation of God's power, but they're starving for authenticity. Enough is enough of the nonsense. You hear what I'm saying to you? As a result of him being obedient and hiding himself in the secret place, the next manifestation of the anointing was an incredible increase. There wasn't just a supernatural feeding of the family, but God used him to raise the dead. It would never happen if he hadn't obeyed the Lord and gone to the brook Cherith, allowed the Lord to feed him supernaturally. And whenever there's advancement, whenever there's a fresh breakthrough on your part into that large space that's yours, it's always going to be a result of two things. One, living life in the secret place, and from that place, God will create holy crises that give you an opportunity to be his instrument of overcoming. We'll talk about that Sunday night. He'll just like throw you into the wilderness. That's what Mark said. He didn't just lead him. He threw him out there. Just, because then you learn to win battles you've never had to fight before on his behalf. But it all flows out of the secret place. Because in the secret place, he's preparing you for that next crisis, which is an opportunity for him to manifest himself as a miraculous overcomer. You hear me? The opportunity is going to come. Oh, it's going to be a big one. Blind people? But what you've cultivated in the secret place will be manifested in the public place. Trust me. That's the way he works. He's a discipler. There's lecture, then there's lab. So you long for the miraculous? You long to see all these cool things happen? There you go. You want to balk in the authenticity? Or do we want another phony baloney? Who can tap into his hand occasionally, but there's just a character issue. There's just something wrong. Something's missing. His presence is enough to cause mountains to melt like wax. If you carry his presence into a place that's come out of the secret place, it'll cause things like blindness and dead people and others to melt like wax. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.